Thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank the Lord for that song. I'm going to write my thought here. Importance of spiritual food. I was praying, and I know we're getting close to Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving and all the good food, but the Lord began to talk to my heart about spiritual food and how it's really something very necessary, even more than our necessary food, and how important it is for our spiritual life to have a lot of spiritual food going on every day. So we pray the Lord will help me with this thought. I like the Lord really talked to me one morning early. And 1 Corinthians, we want to start reading in 10. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you," 1 Corinthians 10, "I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." You know, the rock, Jesus, the Word of God, the Bible, the Lord. I'm so glad that we have the Bible. The Lord left the Bible for us to eat it. And he has your ministers to feed you through the Word of God. I was thinking about Peter when Jesus arose from the dead and went out on the shore. And he knew exactly what they were doing. They got a little down and they went and he thought, "I'm just going to go back fishing." But that's not what God wanted Peter to do. God wanted Peter to feed his sheep. And so he said, he got some fish and bread and he was getting some meal there ready. But he said, "Children, have any meat?" And he told them to cast their net on the other side. And I think it was like a multitude of fishes. And they knew that it was Jesus. Jesus was appearing to them after he had died. He appeared unto them. But the importance I'm going to get is all that the Lord was really, really interested in right then was, I know you need necessary food to live. I know, understand that. But you need to feed my sheep. So we know that we need to eat. We need to eat spiritual food. And I'm just wondering, are we eating enough? Are we hungry enough? Are we eating enough of spiritual food? And this is just our lifeline to heaven. We have to do it. We need to do it. And we not just have to do it. We want to do it. We want to do that. I was thinking about food. You know, what is food for? Food gives us energy. It's amazing how sometimes if I went even without eating any food and I get terribly thirsty and I can drink a large, tall glass of water. I remember one time I was out with my daughter and I just got terribly thirsty. My mouth got dry and we got a big bottle of water and I just drank and drank and drank and drank it. I was getting kind of tired and all that. Immediately, I got so much energy and I felt like going. I thought only this water did this for me. It wasn't food at all. It was just water. So important it is to drink God's word and eat his word. How much spiritual strong, we can get more spiritually strong by doing this. And so you think about how you get energy. It helps your body. You grow. It repairs. You need many nutrients and things like that. Well, in God's word, you need his word to grow, to be spiritually strong. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's going to come up. And we need God's word. I was thinking, how could we apply some things to get more of God's word? I know sometimes when we work with people at the altar, they're struggling, and most of the time it's because, well, I'm not praying enough, or I'm not reading the Bible enough. And so they said, how can I pray more? I said, well, there's one thing that the Lord has brought to my mind. As soon as I open my eyes, I start praying. Most of the time, I'm saying positive every time I just open my eyes, but right away in the morning, I start praying. And it's good just to pray, and you might not pray a real long prayer, but pray and thank the Lord for giving you a good rest, and thank the Lord for being alive, and just talk to Him like a friend. And then you can pray more later. I think sometimes we get in a thing that, well, a certain time I'm going to read and pray, and I'm going to make sure I spend 30 minutes at it or an hour at it. But you know, we need to just constantly be praying all day long. We need to be all evening. We need to be in the spirit of prayer, because we just never know what can happen. I remember one time, it just comes to my mind, Judy's daughter got kicked with a horse. And we were she had a big cut on her stomach, and it was kind of a dangerous deal right then. And we could just go right into the spirit of prayer. And see, that's what I'm trying to say. We just don't know what's going to happen. Well, we need God. So we need to really work on spending time with the Lord. I thought about the scripture there in Job. Job in 23 says, you know what happened to Job. But what did he say? Job 23 and 12, he says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, unless we're fasting, most of us don't forget about it's breakfast time. Or if we skip breakfast, we don't forget about lunchtime, do we? We don't forget the supper time, whatever. But you know, we needed not to forget about God. We should esteem him more than our necessary food. That Lord, how many times the Lord knocks at our door, and I think I was reading over here in Revelation, he knocks at our door, and he wants to sup with us. And it happens to me. I mean, I know that people have this struggle sometimes, because I'm a human, and I have it. I have to go and be with the Lord. I have to go be with the Lord, and he talks to me. And he'll say, will you come and pray? You need to go pray. And I might be busy doing something. I'm very active. And I might be doing, and Laura said, just lay it down. Just quit doing it. I don't care if it's doing dishes or whatever you're doing around the house. Just quit it. Go pray. And so I know that there's times that the Lord does that with all of us. He knocks at our heart. We think of the scripture, maybe a people that are not saved. We see the, I don't know if that picture is here. No, but there's a picture like Jesus knocking on the door of people's hearts. But you know, he knocks upon the saints' hearts. He knocks upon ours. He don't stop knocking. He'll come to you and say, you need to go pray. You need to go read the Bible. You need to spend some time with me. He does that. And so I wanted to read this. This was very interesting to me. Revelation 3 and 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And I looked up the word sup, and it was amazing what I learned from that. But the definition of sup is like, you take some water here. Now, I'm not gulping it. I'm supping it. You're probably making y'all thirsty. But you sup little bits of it. Small amounts is supping. That's not gulping. When you sup with the Lord, you're communicating with Him in small amounts. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have a big meal with Him sometimes. Sometimes we may have 2 or 3 hours. I know I love those times when I get to sit down with the Bible and the conference and study, and maybe 2 hours goes by or whatever. Maybe I'm not really even keeping time. Just as long as I want, I've got that time set aside to be with the Lord. And it might, you know, sup is part of supper. If you go on, sup is part of supper, so supper is a big meal. But we need to learn how to sup with God. Drink small amounts. I'm going to get this over to you all day long. Drink small amounts with the Lord. You're busy people. Okay, raise your hand if you're not a busy person. You're not? Okay, well, that might be true when you're a little girl. But as you get older, you get to be busy. And you know what happens? Then you got lots of time to talk to Jesus, don't you, honey? And you know, you're going to have to learn how to... Now, this is some of the things I do. I love my Bible, little Bible promise that's on my dresser. And actually, I got one before I left the house. I think I got two. I don't know, but I got one. And sometimes I carry them in my purse. And I'll say, oh, you know, what was that the Lord gave me? And I get it out and I look at it again. Maybe I'll have a few minutes. I'm sitting in the car. Jerry runs into a store. Maybe I'll get my little Bible promise and read it and pray a few minutes there with the Lord. And I'm just supping all day long. And I think we kind of get in a thought that we've got to, I read and pray in the morning, and then I'll say my prayers at night, and all day long, we're not supping much. But we've got to learn to sup with the Lord. Take small amounts in all the time. And I was trying to think of some ways we can do it. Okay, if we have, of course now we have our phone where we can turn on a spiritual song. I've done that sometimes. I'd be doing dishes, and I thought, a song would come to my mind. I thought, look up that hymn. And just listen to it. I come to the garden alone, or, you know, whatever comes to your mind, and just listen to that song a few minutes. And, or maybe you're in a car where you could listen to something, you know, listen to a hymn or something, or maybe you have a CD in the car that you can listen to gospel music while you're driving on a trip. I mean, there's just, I mean, your mind can just go. There's so many ways that you can sup with the Lord. And continually, you know what? When you do that, you know what he thinks? When he's got somebody to do a job, well, that person talks to me all the time. I'm going to pick that person to do the job for me. Because they talk to me all the time. They're not a stranger to me. They're my friend. They sup with me. I know my husband, sometimes we get busy and we'll sit at the island and we're sitting this way, which is okay. I like that too. But what I really like, we go out to, he takes me on a date, and we go to dinner at a lunch or something. And he sometimes the waitress or waiter say, do you want to sit in that booth side by side? Oh, no. He even says, oh, no, we want to sit right across from each other. We want to look eye to eye. We want to talk to one another. And we're supping with one another. We want to enjoy that meal together. You know, look eye to eye with your person. And this is what God is. Jesus wants to look at us, sup with us, and talk to us. And you're not seeing him physically, but you're seeing him spiritually, okay? And he's supping with you, and he loves that. He wants you. I'm knocking on the door. He said, if you will open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him. Drinking small amounts, not gulping. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. Maybe you're going around the house to say, Lord, oh, you've done such a wonderful thing for me the other day. Thank you. Praise you, God. Thank you for doing that for me. You might be sitting in service and someone's preaching and you're thinking about God and you're talking to God. That's okay. You're supping and you're getting some food from the ministry and the Bible, but you're also talking to him. Lord, I want to do better in that area. I want to get closer to you. Every word that you say, Jesus is coming to sup with you. The importance of spiritual food. That's important. It's important to drink and eat with Jesus. No, I love the Lord. I want to eat with him. I was thinking over here in more than my necessary food. Matthew 4. I was thinking about when Jesus fasted. And then the devil come to tempt him. But this fasting, you know, lots of my people say, I'm going to fast. But it's fasting and praying, okay? Because if we just fast and go without our food, we could do that naturally. I've done that naturally, just fast. But if you're fasting on spiritual things, you're supposed to be praying. When it's time for breakfast, you're supposed to be going in your room somewhere or in a silent corner and praying to the Lord about that need you're fasting about. Lunchtime comes, instead of eating, you go and pray again. And supper comes and you're still fasting, you go pray, set that aside, and especially pray about that need. Constantly. That's what fasting is, fasting and praying. Not just running around and doing the shopping and all kinds of things, and maybe you have to do that if you're fasting sometimes, but when the need comes and it's time and you get hungry, that's when you need to go pray. Lord, I'm giving up this food. And you know what? When I'm spiritually fasting about something, I can say, Lord, take the hunger away from me, and He takes it away. I know you probably have experienced that. It's amazing. Just not hungry. Because God wants you to fast. And so, now, I hope this is okay for me to say this, but I don't know. I was trying to remember how many days in a row that I've actually fasted. Usually it's like 3 days at the most or something like that. And that's even hard sometimes. But 5 days maybe I did once at Monarch, or I don't remember. Or 6 days. But what I'm trying to say is, I haven't fasted 30 days in a row. Never did that. I never did what Jesus did. I don't know if anyone here has fasted 40 days. Probably not, right? Probably not. But if you go without food, you can still live for 40 days. I was studying this, and because I thought, well, Jesus wouldn't have us do something that we couldn't do, right? Because He's our example, and we might take Him up and try to do that. But I never have tried to do that. The most time I fast, like 20 or 21 days, but it wasn't in the row. It was like 2 or 3 days, and I ate, and then maybe a couple days, and I ate. But, you know, I mean, that's amazing when someone can do that, fast that long. But as I was studying that, it said 45 to 61 days is when people can die. So that was interesting to me, because I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense that Jesus would only fast 40 days, because 40 is getting too close to 45, right? And someone might be in real danger there. That's getting too close for comfort right there. Pretty close. 45 to 61, you could die. I mean, it's a serious thing. If you go without food, you're going to die. What if you go without spiritual food? When people don't read and pray, and it troubles me that I hear a lot of this at the altar, you know, I'm not praying, I'm not reading, I'm not getting in my spiritual food. That's very, it might be a message that we need a lot of, because I think that we need to encourage people how to do this, how to sup with the Lord, how to get close to the Lord, because we're living in such a busy age, and we got these telephones now and these things that distract us. And there's sometimes I just have to take that phone and put it in the other room. I'm sorry, I'm not even going to look at it for a long time. Because, you know, here it beeps and you think, oh, it's one of my girls texting me, you know. And you want to read it. And it distracts you. And I'm not saying it isn't a good, it can be used for a good. It's good to send out, you know, things to people and help people and all that. And it's good to pray for people. But we still got to realize that if it distracts us too much, we need to have a cell phone break. A cell phone break. Put it away and just spend time with Jesus. So you can't even hear it ding. You can't even hear that ding. Can't even be distracted. You know, I remember, because I'm old enough, I remember the years I didn't have a phone. I remember what it was like. Yeah. Nobody could call me. I could be shopping. Nobody would interrupt me. I could do whatever, you know. I was free as a bird. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, but now it's like, well, they've got even little things that find you wherever you're at. I mean, you can't hide nothing. And if you don't even put yourself on Facebook, they put you on there. It's just, we're living in a world of too much information sometimes. But you know what? What I'm trying to say is get back to the thought that we need to set these things aside and sup with Jesus. When Jesus fasted there, and I also was reading, just kind of put this in a little bit, in Belfast prison Belfast, Ireland, there was a prison there. And I don't know if you heard it, back in the 1980s, they wanted to They wanted certain things to change. They wanted to wear their own clothes. They wanted to have more visits from their family and different things. They wrote five things, and then they started starving. They would not eat. This went on for quite a long time. And it got people's attention. It got the United States' attention about how they were being treated because they were starving. People do not like you to starve, right? They don't. They think it's terrible. And what happened before this ended, 10 men died from starvation before they finally ended and gave them some of the rights that they wanted there in that prison. But the thought is, you know, we know how bad it is to starve. We might not have starved, but we know how bad it is for a person to starve and not eat. I know one time, and I wasn't fasting that long. I don't know even how many days it was at Monarch, but it might have been 3 days or something. I don't even know. But I remember one sister, I won't say who she is. It was sweet of her. She was a relative by marriage, older sister. But she came to my cabin, she knocked on the door, and she brought me a plate of food. And she said, "You are going to eat." That's all I said. Okay, well, Lord, you know, my sister says I'm going to eat, so guess I'll take her up on it and I'll eat. So I did. But what I'm trying to say is people don't like you to starve. Well, you know, God's people don't like to see each other spiritually starving. And especially ministers, we want you to eat. We want you to, you know, I was read a long time ago, and I try to really preach with mercy and love. I really try. Sometimes some scriptures are really, really strong. I try to be careful, and I try, and you know, when you know you're in a congregation, you know something might hit that person, but the message was not for that person, but you know it's gonna, because you know so much, and it's really hard, you know. But I read one time that, you know, years ago, some of these preachers that they like threw corn cobs at people. You know what I mean? Just, they brought the word too harsh. But that we've got to learn how to preach God's word that is strong and still preach it in love so they'll eat it. If you get a corn cob thrown at you, probably won't eat that corn. You know what? You're going to... But if it's fed to you a little bit of time and nice, you might get a hold of something and think, well, yeah, I think I'll do that. I think I want to do that. I remember one time Brother Marty he was preaching at Guthrie, and it kind of reminded me of this time, because he was bringing, you know, when there's a big get-together and a big potluck, and I have nothing against it. I'm anxious to eat it, but there's turkey, and there's dressing at Thanksgiving, and there's gravy, and there's mashed potatoes, and there's sweet potato casserole, and there's jello, and there's rolls, and apple pie, pecan pie, meringue pie, chocolate pie, on and on, you know, my favorite aunt's dish or whatever. And you got so much food there, you just got to get a little bit of everything, and you still got a huge plate. But, you know, comparing that with God, his food is, we can just get a little bit of everything, and there's just so much. Think about when he fed the 5,000. The little boy had only a lunch. How much was it? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, right? And he said, he brought it to Jesus, and Jesus blessed it, and he multiplied it, and 5,000 men and women and children besides. The multitude there was fed, and then he told the disciples, go pick up the leftovers. And brought, do you think that the God of all creation, Jerry's been bringing that out to me lately. Can a bird drink up the ocean, Brother Warner said, thirsting still from shore to shore? Or the God of all creation leave our heart yet yearning more? My soul is satisfied. He has got so much food. If you need food, you don't have to starve. You don't have to think, well, God's not blessing me. I need some. You don't have to be like, you can say, I know God's going to help me. I know he's going to feed me. I know he's going to bless me. And I remember one time, I was with Jerry on this little trip, and we were talking about the Lord. And I guess I was getting a little bit homesick, wanting to go home, because I went to see my mom before that, and I got home, went again. And I just was towards the end, just getting a little bit like I wanted to go home. And so I started to address, Jerry, I love the saints. I really love the saints. I miss the saints. And I love the saints. I love being with them. And I said, I am thanking the Lord for them. And I started thanking the Lord. I said, Lord, where would we be if we hadn't got saved and been with these people? Where would Jerry and I be? And Jerry said, yeah, you're right, you're right. And we started thanking the Lord, and I started thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you for bringing me to the family of God. And I kept thanking him, I'm so thankful that you spared me a sinful life. I'm so thankful that you, like was mentioned in Sunday school, that things unknown that I could have done because I've been with the people of God. And when I started thanking the Lord, and this is Thanksgiving too, the Lord anointed and started blessing me and pouring up. You know what it's like when you get a blessing from the Lord. He started pouring a blessing on me, and I started crying. And I was kind of in a public place. I had to go back to somewhere else. I was wiping my eyes, and I was just crying because the Lord was pouring a blessing on me. You know, he wants us to be thankful too. But the thought is how important spiritual food is. It's so important. I would like to read just a couple more scriptures here. St. John 4:32, Lord willing. St. John 4:32. Think about it. This Thanksgiving, when we're enjoying our family and eating all that good food and stuff, think about all the spiritual food that God has for us. St. John 4:32. It says here, Jesus saith unto them, remember, the disciples had went away and he dealt with a woman and he told her all things and she gave him a drink of water. But he said, I've got water. Let's read that 13th verse. Jesus answered and said to this woman, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you know, saints that are saved here and sanctified, that you have a well inside of you? Do you ever think about it? A spiritual well of water. All you've got to do is tap into it. Talk to the Lord and sup with him, and that water will start going, flowing. I remember, I like to read about, I mention this sometimes, I just like to read old books. And so sometimes when we go, we take the Bible story book, the Bible, song. He always loves to take the psalm book. He feeds on the psalm book. Jerry does. That's his worship. He loves to do that in during the day. Read a song and then an old book. Like this last time trip I went, I took Birth of Reformation and I started from the beginning. And I read probably about half through or even more, almost the whole book, because we would read that along with it. But, you know, get you a good Streams in the Desert or get you Birth of Reformation or some old book that maybe you haven't read and start reading a chapter with your worship along with the Bible or something. You'd be surprised what you could learn from these old books. And I heard the other day, I won't say who, but one of the saints told me, the young people don't want to read books no more. I said, what? She said, you can't get them to read a book. I said, why? She goes, because they like the phone. And the phone's fast. And books is slower to read a book. But you know what? That's not true. That might be true about them, but they need help on that. Because we need to read books. Reading is a wonderful thing. Don't lose sight of reading spiritual books. If you can't read the whole book at once, of course we can't, maybe, at one time. But you just read a little bit of it and start, and you will be so interested. The Birth of Reformation, I love to read that book. Every time I read it, I get inspired. And it has good things, it has bad things that happened to Brother Warner and the different saints that were bringing out the truth, but it has good things that's happened. But its life is the way life is. Its life is that way. Just like the Bible, God does not withhold the bad things that happen to people in the Bible. But he has also the good, because that's the way real life is. That's the way real life is. But anyway, I want to read this. St. John 4:32. And, you know, I was going on to say that he was talking to the woman, and then he said the disciples went and got meat while he was talking to the woman. And when they came back, and the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." This is the 31st verse. "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." So I'm thinking from this that the disciples were pretty concerned about getting their meat that day. You know, which is normal, but they wanted him to eat. "And therefore said the disciples one to another, Have any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So it just seems like to me that the Lord was always drawing the disciples back, that you're thinking too much about this life. Yes, we do need our necessary food. I love good food. I'm not saying that. I love good food. I have always had a good appetite. But the thing is, I realize that my soul needs to be fed. My inner soul needs to be fed. And, you know, that's even more important, because someday this life will be over. Food will not sustain me forever. Someday Jesus is going to take me home to be with him. And so I know that I got to take care of the soul. The soul is the most important thing. And so it says here, "I have meat to know, eat that you know not of." Remember the fishes. He helped him. He got some fish going there. He ate fish with them. He ate bread with them. And then he challenged them. Okay, now you go feed my sheep. In other words, you quit fishing and quit doing this. There's nothing wrong with fishing, but you quit that, because I've called you to go and work for me. Go feed my sheep. It's the same with me. It's the same with you. It's the same, you know, all of us, we got to be challenged. You know, there's times that we get too busy doing things, and the Lord will speak to us. I called you to the ministry. I called you to work for me. And just to say an encouragement, I'm saying this for a reason. It was like Thursday or Wednesday, the Lord started dealing with me. You know, this is for Sunday, Nina. You ought to try to go. I want you to go. And I thought, well, Lord, I want to make sure I'm supposed to go. And so I kept praying. And then Brother Bob texted me. I think it was Friday. So then that was a witness. Yes, the Lord, you know, really did want me to go. But see, we've got to stir ourselves. I'm saying this for a reason, that we've got to stir ourselves, whatever job God gives you to do. You've got to lay aside and realize that his spiritual work and his spiritual food is more important. I just want to challenge us to get closer to the Lord. I know a lot of us are. I know we probably all are. But we can always get closer to the Lord. I remember Jerry in Michigan, he used to tell me, he'd take his testament to work, and when he had breaks, he'd go out in the car and he'd read his Bible. You know, so there's no excuse for not supping with Jesus. We can do it. We can, little bit at a time. What?
Put the Bible on your phone while you're driving down the road.
Yes. Lord willing, I have one more scripture. One more scripture. In 1 Kings, I'm going to read some of this song. It says, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything." We want the Lord. We want to get close to the Lord. We got to put some action. Action. I was coming up here and I seen a sign and said, "Thanksgiving is an action word." Thanksgiving. Oh, especially the women do a lot of work to give, don't they? And so Thanksgiving. And we can be thankful to others. We can be thankful for a lot of things. So anyway, I want to read this one more scripture in Kings 19:5. Elijah, remember when Elijah thought He was so strong with the prophets of Baal, and then he, when he heard about Jezebel, he thought, oh, I just might as well die. He just changed completely. That's the way humans are. We can be on top, and they get so, oh, and we have to bring ourselves back through Jesus. But anyway, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which he longeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat. That was natural meat. 40 days and 40 nights. Now here's the 40 days and 40 nights again. But soon after that's danger, okay, because soon after that's danger. For 45 to 61 days, you can die. I'm saying this because there's a lot of these young people are thinking about this water fasting. You better not be doing it too long. You might end up in heaven. No, that wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't know. I'm just telling you that the world gets these ideas. But I'm telling you, in the Bible, here's another example of the 40 days. That's why it's amazing to me, I thought. But the main thing I was getting is that he said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And that's what we want to say today. Arise and eat spiritually, because otherwise the journey will be too great for you. There's lots of things that come up that troubles us. And the enemy tries to make it a mountain. You know, I've learned in life that if you just wait a little while, it all passes over, and it all passes over. There's one more little song I wanted to read you. I'm not going to try to sing it, but Brother Leslie sang this a lot, and Sister Sylvia, I miss them. It says, honey in the rock, oh, my brother, do you know the Savior who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There is honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There is honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There is honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drank from the living fountain? There is honey in the rock for you. Never think that the Lord's not going to give you some of that honey. He's going to give you some of that sweetness in your spiritual life. Brother Souders taught us in Oklahoma City. That's where we moved first from Michigan. And I never forgot this illustration he brought out. He said, when you first put gum in your mouth, say juicy fruit or whatever, you put it in your mouth, it is so sweet, and you chew that. And it's so sweet. And then after a while, it kind of gets to be just like rubber with no sugar in it, and you spit it out, right? But he said, God wants you to keep your salvation as sweet as when that first chewing gum gets in your mouth. He wants you to keep your salvation, even though it's been 48 years ago, because we got saved just before we got married. November 10th, Jerry got saved. I got saved the 12th, and we got married Monday night on the 15th. That was a really busy week. But we really got saved. And I can testify, by God's grace, it's just as sweet as it was, and it's sweeter. Because I've learned about God. I didn't know as very much about God when I first got saved. But after living for God all the years and all the answers to prayer, and I want to say, because it's Thanksgiving, so thankful. And just like recently, our unspoken prayer is amazing. If I told you the details, what God did was amazing. No doubt that it was God. And I couldn't see. I had to go by faith for a while. But, you know, then God let me see and answer. And that's that way in our lives. But He is a God of love. Pray for me.